Jimmy, thank you so much. Well, as we did last week, we're thinking today about keeping going as a Christian. When you're thinking about giving up, what help do we have? In the Christian life, there might be particular moments when we're tempted to throw in the towel, perhaps in the office. A girl at our church had advertised a Christian event to her whole office via email, and then later that week she was let go. Now, maybe it was a coincidence, but if my Christian witness put my job at risk, should I stay quiet about Jesus next time, and the time after, and the time after, and soon I'm not speaking publicly for Jesus, I'm sidelining him in my life? Is there any help? What about sin? We're tempted in a particularly strong way. So often it's in the area of sex. I've known a number of Christians who wanted a relationship with someone who was not following Jesus, who've given up on him to pursue that relationship. Is there help if I'm tempted? Or facing a period of suffering of some kind, an illness, a family crisis, which causes us to ask, why, God? Is there any help? Or if we're just facing a general period where it feels like a slog to keep going, where does my help come from? Maybe you've come today, whether you'd call yourself a Christian or not, because life is frankly a mess. Maybe you feel like you're drowning, you're desperate, you're ashamed. You've come looking for help. Is there any? Well, all these issues have in common what is arguably the greatest danger we as Christians face: unbelief. Will I keep trusting what God says? Will I believe his word? Or will I throw in the towel? Now, I guess sat here looking at those situations, a Christian would say, I want to keep going. But in the heat of the moment, when the going gets tough, when there's a real cost, a real temptation, when we're just spent, maybe we just don't want to or feel we can't keep going. We need help, and not just a shoulder to cry on, you know, pat on the back, bit of help to keep treading water. We need help that really works. The Christians who first received this letter were close to throwing in the towel. They needed help. But does God even want to help us when we're struggling to believe? Well, our passage today shows us Jesus wants to help. It shows us how powerful, how strong a helper Jesus is in those situations. That Jesus has promised to help us when we don't believe, to get us to the ultimate destination he has promised for us. Jesus is always willing and always able to help. And Jesus doesn't just want us to know it. He wants us to come to him for help. We see this in our key verse for today, which is verse 25. It sums up, I guess, what might have seemed as we read it like quite a hard passage. Look down with me at verse 25. We're going to keep coming back to this verse. Verse 25. Consequently, he, that's Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Our passage is a call to draw near to Jesus, to come to him when we struggle, to come to Jesus who will fully save those who come to him through his constant prayers to God for us. This chapter is all about the help that we have in the Lord Jesus. And the category that it uses to describe help is priesthood, because in the Old Testament, the priests were one of the most helpful things that God gave to his people so they would keep going. And so Jesus is our priest. And firstly, we see that Jesus is our living priest. Jesus is our living priest. The resurrection of Jesus, the fact that Jesus is alive today, is fundamental to how we're helped. A helper who is dead is useless to you. You know, when you're facing an emergency and you call 999, you expect a real living person to come and help you. I wonder, did you notice all the references to Jesus being a living priest in verses 23 to 25? Let's read those verses again. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Verse 23, it compares Jesus to the standard Old Testament priests who are unreliable helpers because they all died. But Jesus isn't a priest like them. In fact, he can't be because he wasn't born in the right family line. But our author takes us to another type of Old Testament priest. You may have wondered earlier as the passage was read, who is this random guy called Melchizedek? Well, he's another Old Testament priest who appears in Genesis in the life of Abraham, who we thought about last week. Now, Melchizedek has two standout features. The first is that it looks like he doesn't die, or at least that's how it seems when we read about him in Genesis. It's like he's an eternal priest. And verses 15 to 17 show that Jesus is a priest, a helper like him. Verse 15, this becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who's become a priest not on the basis of legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The qualification to become a priest like Melchizedek is not to be related to him, that's what verse 16 says, like the other Old Testament priests. Rather, you have to be able to live forever. Verse 15 says another priest has arisen like him. Now, when it says arise, it doesn't just mean that he's appeared. No, Jesus was appointed a priest like Melchizedek when he was raised from the dead. And Jesus was appointed priest, verse 16, by the power of an indestructible life. Jesus was raised to everlasting life. Jesus can never die. He will always live. So Jesus is a living priest, a forever helper. We could say he's a strong helper because he can never die again. He is indestructible. When I was growing up, there was a TV show I loved where the main character was called Captain Scarlet, and he was described as indestructible in the series Earth is at War with Aliens from Mars. And there's a series defining twist in the opening episode that the aliens accidentally make Captain Scarlet indestructible. He can never die again, and he becomes Earth's greatest weapon to fight the aliens. Well, Jesus, raised to life, he cannot die. He is indestructible. No bullet can touch him. No accident can stop him. No disease can harm him. He lives forever, and so he is always able to help us. But what does Jesus actually do to help us? I guess we know Jesus being raised from the dead. It's at the heart of the gospel, but I guess sometimes we can think Jesus is just sat on his throne in heaven, waiting to be told to come back. Well, our verses show us Jesus is actively at work to help us when we struggle to believe in him. Point two, Jesus will get us to our final destination. Let's read our key verse, verse 25 again. Consequently, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Verse 25 says Jesus is able to save fully. That is, to get us to the great destination we as God's people are heading to. It's called perfection in verse 11, which is a Hebrew's way of describing the end goal of the Christian life. Getting to heaven, sharing life forever with Jesus in his perfect new world, in fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham, again, which we thought about last week. Now, perfection, it's not a moral category, rather a status that cannot be undone. Jesus, well, he's already made it. He's been perfected. He's got to the end goal, to heaven. And Jesus' job now as a priest in heaven is to help us get there too, to save us to the uttermost. Not just to help us get there. It is his mission to get us there. He must do it. Simply put, in these verses, they say that an oath is sworn that Jesus must get us to the end. We'll just have a look at that for a couple of minutes in the verses. It's a little bit technical, but the simple idea is an oath is sworn that Jesus must get us to the end. It brings us to the other role that Melchizedek had, which was to bless people. In Genesis, we read that Melchizedek blesses Abraham. The blessings for Abraham are delivered through him. And when God appoints Jesus as a priest like Melchizedek, in verse 20, he swears an oath, verse 20. And it was not without an oath. For those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. So when God appoints Jesus priest, he swears an oath, which means, verse 22, Jesus is the guarantor of a better covenant. It means Jesus is the priest who delivers, who must deliver the blessings of God to us. That's why God swears an oath, to help us see how strong Jesus delivering the blessings is. Jesus must bless his people. That is, Jesus must get his people to this end goal, perfection. Jesus lives today to bless us. Jesus' mission now is to get us to perfection, to get us across the finish line. A member of our church was running the London Marathon a few weeks ago, and he was on for a sub-3-hour time. I mean, remarkable. He was running down the mile, still on for his sub-3-hour time. And then he found a guy, I think the guy had collapsed on the mile, who couldn't finish. Perhaps you saw it on the TV. Anyway, along with a few other guys, he grabbed the guy and carried him across the finish line. Now, my friend, he didn't get his sub-3-hour time, sadly. But they all finished the race. Jesus lives to get us across the finish line. He is able to save completely. But we said since the start, the great obstacle stopping us getting to the goal, the end goal, is not believing. Well, look back with me at our key verse, verse 25, to see how Jesus helps us with the problem of unbelief. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus helps by going to God the Father and interceding, that is, praying for us, asking we would make it to the end goal, cross the finish line to our heavenly home to receive the promised blessings. And there is no exclusion clause, no asterisk saying won't save in the case of unbelief. No, Jesus is able to save completely. Now, I guess at this point we might think, great, Jesus prays for me in heaven. Is that really much help? But we need to remember that Jesus has a 100% track record of being heard. In chapter 5, it describes how Jesus' prayers to be raised from the dead were heard by his heavenly Father, because he'd lived a perfect, obedient life, because he'd endured to the finish line, because Jesus kept believing. Jesus is alive, which is proof his prayers, his intercessions work. Jesus is in heaven praying the same words for us as he prayed for himself, to be raised, that we would enter perfection, that we would get to the goal, prayers which are heard and answered by God the Father. We come to get help from a finisher. Jesus is able to get us to the same goal. Jesus, who kept going under the greatest pressure, who kept believing when all humanity failed. We come to Jesus, who's made it to the end, but who doesn't look back sneering, saying, "Ha ha, suckers, I made it, it's up to you now." No. We come to Jesus, commissioned to help us make it too. His entry into heaven was his swearing-in ceremony into the office of helper, helper forever. Because he got there, he must help us get there too. Our older brother, our living helper, he is alive today with the purpose of saying prayers that we would make it across the finish line. Jesus lives to deliver on the promise. Jesus' aim in his resurrection life is to save fully those who draw near. He lives to get us to the end. And so there is help in time of need. And so if help is available, we should use it. In an emergency, you pick up the phone, you call 999, you don't stay stuck. So we need to come to him for help, ask for his help, whatever crisis we're in, when we're struggling to believe. We need to know he's willing and able to help. He lives to get us to the end, to overcome that great hurdle of unbelief when we're tempted to throw in the towel. Now, I guess it's still possible, we may think, is this help really enough? Well, God is showing us this is the most real and effective help we could possibly have. He's raised Jesus from the dead, appointed him as priest, and sworn on oath to show how sure and certain our help is, how committed he is to getting us to be with him for eternity. And so our passage says, come, draw near to God through Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Flee to Jesus, the only safe place to go when we struggle to believe. Cry out to him, help my unbelief, help me to make it. So when we face that strong temptation to sin, or we're suffering, or when life feels like a slog, when we're asking why, God, and we just want to throw in the towel, turn to Jesus for help. Now, I know coming to Jesus, admitting we need help, can be hard. I think men particularly, we can want to, you know, tough it out, or just think the problems will pass, or we can feel guilty for having those feelings. If that's you today, cry out for help. Jesus' job description is to help you get through it. Jesus wants to help us, so pray. And know, even when we fail to do that, he helps us. He's praying for us. And we can draw on all the resources that Jesus gives to us. There's more we're going to see in the coming weeks about how Jesus gives us assurance that we're forgiven, gives us hearts of faith, gives us one another to help us keep going. But we have a mighty Saviour who wants us to finish, who can help because he lives. So draw near. Let's finish with verse 25. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is alive today and lives to make intercession for us so that we would finish the race. Please, would you help us to draw near to him whenever we struggle to believe, whatever our challenge is, knowing he's willing and able to help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.